Fast on the heels of the Greek debt crisis, China has also surprised with an intervention in its emergent stock market. In the period since June 12, the Shanghai Composite Index, which is the main Chinese stock market indicator, has fell by almost a third. And this market is quite separate from the Hong Kong Exchange, which we've been familiar with over the years. As Chinese markets have been on a high, the speed of this decline has been the major cause for concern. We need to watch this, as Australia's economic fortunes in the short and medium term are closely allied to that of China, and any downturn in economic activity will affect the commodities markets upon which our economy depends. I caught up with Martin Lakos, Division Director at Macquarie Private Wealth, to explain what has been happening with the Chinese stock market decline and the Chinese response.
In the last 12 months, the Chinese stock market has rallied 150%, an extraordinary run-up. And so you would expect that there would be at some stage a pullback from that run-up. So we've lost 30% in the last month. So it's not so much the surprise of a pullback, it's the pace of the pullback that has surprised. The second area that you've got to consider is, do we consider or do you compare the Chinese stock market to developed world markets such as the US, Australia, Europe? And the answer is no, you don't, because the Chinese stock market is not a true reflection of the Chinese economy. It's not deep and broad. It's still very much in its infancy, whereas the Australian market obviously has elements that really does reflect the Australian economy. In China also, in terms of the number of investors, it's significantly lower in terms of the percentage of the population than, again, here in Australia or US and Europe. So, for example, here in Australia, the number of adults owning shares in the region of 30 to 35%. In China, it's less than 8%. And if you also put in perspective what the share market is all about, which is obviously a developing economy, but also providing access to capital, in terms of total capital needs in China, the access is less than 2% of total capital needs. So again, it's very much indicative of stock market in its infancy. That being said, it's very large and clearly will have an impact, particularly in regards to potentially consumer sentiment. But we don't think the linkages between the stock market and the Chinese economy are that intertwined just yet. That would suggest it's going to push the Chinese economy over. And in fact, so much so, the Chinese authorities have been intervening in this volatility, trying to stabilise the share market fall and to bring some potentially some sense back into what's been going on.
The Chinese government's intervened to try and stabilise the market. Part of this is to inject funds. How does this work? I mean, are they simply lending investors money?
No, that's not correct. The intervention takes a number of areas. Firstly, the central bank is adding liquidity to make sure that there's not a liquidity drought. So they're putting money both into the markets and to the market participants. They've also basically reduced the number of speculative stocks that are trading, so they put them into a trading halt. So if you combine both the Shanghai market and the Shenzhen market, which are the two largest stock markets in China, they've basically put a halt on about 21% of the companies. And a lot of these were the very much smaller, highly speculative companies that were doing a lot of the damage in terms of the big falls. The other side of it is also that we've seen margin lending, which is where investors can borrow to invest in the market. The margins on those margin loans have gone up, so making it harder for investors to leverage up even further. In other words, they're trying to deleverage the situation.
And you said that it's not really indicative of the general Chinese economic situation, yet we have seen a big dip in the iron ore price, haven't we?
Yeah, it has. And in fact, that's a very good point, because in fact, iron ore fell 10% overnight, which is just an extraordinary move, very rare. In fact, we haven't seen it since the spot iron ore price has been calculated through since 2008. And it would again signal that it's more a factor of general market traders de-risking and selling a whole range of commodities almost at any cost. So that 10% fall does clearly not reflect, in our view, the fundamentals behind the supply and demand of iron ore in our region and in the world. We certainly are looking for iron ore to average around about $48 to $50 a tonne over the next quarter, but we're looking for that to improve through to about $56 a tonne average into the third quarter. So again, some volatility in commodity prices has occurred as a result of what's been ongoing in other markets.
Because prices at this level would make Fortescue investors quite nervous, wouldn't it?
Well, again, all of the Australian producers, the major producers, BHP, Rio and Fortescue, have been working very hard and continuing to be the lowest cost producers. And there's been a lot of notices put out by Fortescue that that's what they're working towards. So if you don't include transport or freight, Fortescue certainly has got a production cost per tonne well below where the current spot price is. But again, I think we have to put in perspective. The spot price is exactly that. It's a day-to-day price. The major producers such as BHP, Rio and Fortescue are selling on, largely on long-term contracts across long-term averages. So in the last 3 months, we've seen the iron ore price actually rally from $46 a tonne to $60 a tonne. So again, they've benefited from that average over those 3 months as against just the spot price. So again, we just got to put that in perspective.
Another view is that the property price bubble that we're seeing in Sydney and Melbourne could be tempered by China's stock market plunge, with reports that Chinese retail investors could pull back from the robust levels we've been seeing in Sydney particularly. Do you think it's going to have this effect?
I think there's two things here to be looking at. So the property prices that have been rising in Sydney and Melbourne are definitely not universally across the Australia. So we're seeing obviously much weaker prices for property in West Australia and Queensland, particularly those related to the mining sector, and that's understandable. We are obviously starting to see a little bit of a pickup in southeast Queensland. So in our view, there's not what we call a bubble. What we're far more interested in is to be looking at where building approvals are, and we are now seeing a cyclical high in building approvals, which would suggest that we're going to see quite a bit of building activity coming through in the next 12 to 18 months. And if that's the case, it would suggest that there's actually going to be more supply coming on than current demand. And if we have a little bit of oversupply, that will be a good thing. It'll help to cool prices generally.
With the intervention that the Chinese government is making with the stock market, is this the sort of intervention you would have expected from this sort of partially deregulated market?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that because, you know, clearly the Chinese are well and truly on the way of restructuring their massive economy. To do so, they want stability. And so we're very comfortable that China is growing at about 7 to 7.5% in GDP or economic growth terms. And they've certainly been moving towards deregulating a whole range of industries, including the financial industry. But clearly the big volatility, they've had to step in, or they felt they've had to step in to intervene. So it does raise the question whether, in fact, this will put a halt to or just slow down that deregulatory process and the interventionist policies may be put in place for a little bit longer to ensure the stability in the stock market before they remove those policies again.
And effects with other stock markets around the world, do you think we'll just see a slight reaction, or is it likely to spook some of the markets?
Well, we've had this unrelated but coincidence where you've had the Greek situation along with the Chinese share market falling, and that clearly impacts investor sentiment without a doubt. It's more to the point, you know, whether we actually do see any significant flow-on effects from the various economies impacting demand, and it may well be we see a small impact by consumers. Typically, when you see these headlines, investors and consumers do tend to decide not to make a decision. So it's possible that through this quarter we'll see some small pullback, but we don't think that's going to be dramatic at this point in time. Don't forget, around the world, you've still got very accommodative central bank policies. So in Europe, in the US, you've got zero interest rates. Japan, zero interest rates. You've got these programs called quantitative easing, whereby these central banks are basically adding cash into the market. So there's plenty of liquidity. And that's a good thing in terms of when you have this volatility in markets. So, and it's also clearly there to be stimulating economies and stimulating growth. And we think that's probably going to continue.
So I guess in summary, this correction that we've seen in the stock market has been perhaps a little bit in too short a time period than we would have liked, but it's the correction we had to have, sort of thing.
Well, it's no surprise that there's a correction has come through having seen that meteoric rise, but that's exactly right. It's more about the pace of that correction in China. That's probably been more of a concern rather than the correction itself.
All right, Martin Lakos, thank you very much for your time here again on The Money.
My pleasure. Thank you.